Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Getting a COVID vaccine has not been easy for a lot of the people who want them. Online registrations, long lines, limited supplies, just to name a few, bumps on the road to getting the shots. And then there are the skeptics who are still uneasy about having it done. Well, tonight, we have two important things to share with you about the vaccine. I, along with the rest of the WHUR news team, have received the first round of shots. I got mine today. And we're going to share our experiences with you. Also, there's a new vaccine trial looking for African-American participants. My guests tonight are Dr. Carla Williams, Associate Professor of Medicine and Public Health at Howard University Hospital, and also members of the WHUR news team. If you have questions about our experiences or the new Novavax vaccine trials, give me a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Williams, thanks for joining the conversation.
Good evening, Harold. Thanks for having me join.
Absolutely. Millette Green, how are you?
Happy to be here, Harold. I'm good.
Good. Glad to hear it. So I'll share with you all, first of all. So I got my shot today. I want to salute Nurse Fran Catalan McIntyre for having a steady hand when I got my injection. I was going to tell you, I barely felt it. I really did. I barely felt it. And really did not have too many concerns about it, particularly after the UK delivery of the vaccine early. The UK got the vaccines first. After I got it, you know, that was it. Got a lot of information, too. What about you, Millette? You received yours when?
Last Friday, I believe it was, Thursday or Friday of last week, and no hesitation about getting it. My mother and father, who are elderly, up in age, in their 80s, my father's 90, they've gotten their shots, the first round, and they were fine. I had no issues about it at all, and I haven't had any side effects, nothing, just a teeny bit of soreness in the arm like you would expect any kind of vaccination shot, but nothing. I'm good.
Yeah, I didn't feel much of anything, and certainly it has only been about 4 hours for me, so who knows what I'm going to feel tomorrow. To be quite honest, I'm more sore from working out this week than...
Absolutely. And yeah, they warn you that you might have a little fever, or you might suffer from some side effects, but I haven't had any of that. Mm-hmm. Nothing, Harold.
You never had any concerns at all?
No. And I know that we have issues in the African-American community that are warranted that would make us hesitate about getting a vaccine. But I've been covering the news just as you have, Harold, and I've been talking with the medical professionals and African-American medical professionals, a lot of them, who have all said the same thing about the efficacy of these vaccines, and they believe that this is what we need to do, and I'm trusting them and their expertise. And it is important for African Americans to be part of these vaccine trials as well, and I trust my Howard University professionals, and I'm going with it because it's better to be safe, and that's what I believe in. Getting these vaccines.
Yeah, I'm really there with you. I'm really there with you. When the Vice President, Kamala Harris, got it, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when Dr. Wayne Frederick, the president of Howard University, got his, I was all in. So it just wasn't that big of a deal for me.
It is for so many
I know,
in our community and so many who are professionals, who are even in the medical profession. So I know that the concerns are very real, and I don't want to devalue what those concerns are for people.
Yeah, I agree. Millette, stay healthy, keep working hard, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good evening.
Sure. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Williams, we've got some phone calls on the line. Folks want to have some questions answered, if you don't mind, about the COVID-19 vaccines. Let me grab one real quick. Richard calling from Virginia. Richard, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what's on my mind is that the COVID vaccine that I've been given to some people of a certain age had passed away. So my question is, these people that do have passed away, is it just them, or does it happen to younger people also, or in between?
Did you hear that, Dr. Williams?
I do want to make sure I understand the question, because there have been some news reports more outside of the U.S. So is the question about those news reports that show that older adults, there have been some unexpected deaths among older adults? Is that the story that you're referring to?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Yes. So in each of these cases, and it gives me a good chance to make the point that these vaccines, even though they're approved for emergency use, we continue to study what's happening as people are getting them, you know, outside of the controlled research environment. So any unexpected event or side effect can be reported. We are, you know, encouraging healthcare providers to continue to monitor. The companies are continuing to monitor. And what happens is, in those cases, they're looked at very closely to understand, was it something related to the vaccine, or did it simply have to do with the fact that these were older and frail individuals? And as I understand, the current understanding of that outcome is that these were individuals who were older and frail and had underlying health conditions. And so we do have to understand, with vaccines, I mean, any medical treatment, sometimes something else could happen that actually didn't have anything to do with the vaccine itself, but it may have just been the timing. So from what I understand from those reports, their best estimate right now is that those individuals are older and frail, and their underlying conditions may have largely contributed to their demise. But it also is worth saying that with that second dose of the vaccine, sometimes people do get some significant symptoms, and with that frailty, that may have played a partial role in it.
Okay. Richard, thank you so much for your phone call. WHUR News reporter Bramante Bryant is on the line. Hey, Bramante, how are you?
Good. How are you, Harold?
I'm doing just fine. How are you feeling? When did you get your COVID-19 vaccine?
I got my vaccine, let's see, today is Thursday, about a week and a half ago, last Tuesday, I think it was. Yeah. And, you know, got the shot, was quick, soreness in my arm, just as they said you would have, pretty much almost like, you know, you would have with a flu shot, maybe a little bit sore than normal than a flu shot. But after about a day or so, that went away, and no side effects that I would say was anything noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Do you know which one you received?
Yes, I got the Pfizer vaccine. Mm-hmm. And so I'll have to get that again, as they told me, because I asked, you know, I remember my wife was saying, be sure that you get, you know, the same vaccine on your second dose. And so I asked, and they made sure to tell me, yes, you have to get the Pfizer. If you get Moderna, you have to get that one as the second one. So pretty easy. You know, they give you a card. They notate that you've had your first dose. They have on the schedule when you're supposed to get your second dose. They tell you, listen, take a picture of the card in case you lose it, you know, modern technology. So it was very clear cut. And again, you know, really no issues. So I had no hesitation in taking the shot.
Yeah, I got the Pfizer one as well.
Yeah.
Bramante, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your time. I have some breaking news into the newsroom that we need to share with our listening audience. Award-winning actor Cicely Tyson has died at the age of 96. Cicely Tyson, known more recently for her television and movie roles. She was ubiquitous and had been for decades, but she really first came to light for many of us in the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. Cicely Tyson, an incredible actor, a civil rights activist, and a Hollywood stalwart. Cicely Tyson, dead tonight at the age of 96. We will, of course, have more on the passing of this great actor tomorrow on the Steve Harvey Morning Show, as well as on the Daily Drum. I want to ask you about the trial, the Novavax trial, Dr. Williams, because this is a really critical issue. It was a critical issue last year when there was the rush to develop the vaccine and to get people of color to participate. Can you kind of give me an overview of what that's about this time, the Novavax vaccine? And also, Erica, please stay on the line from Maryland. We're going to get to you in just a moment, but please go right ahead, doctor.
Sure, Harold. So Novavax, if you're following the news, in addition to the two vaccines that are approved for use in the United States now, there are about three others that are in the pipeline, as we say, under development. And Novavax is among the companies that are still in that pipeline. And so part of this is about the fact that we need a worldwide vaccine supply. It's not just about the U.S. And I think we've been seeing this discussion make its way into the news that unless everyone is vaccinated, we're going to continue to contend with this disease over a much longer period of time. So having additional vaccine candidates, potential vaccines that could be effective and safe come into the market could help to increase that worldwide supply. And so Novavax is one among about three current companies that are trying to either finish their trials or submit their data for review.
But why is it so important for people of color, particularly African Americans, to participate in these trials? Because there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, a lot of stuff that has been floating around and a lot of concerns about people of color participating in the trials as well as getting the vaccine.
The important aspect of participation among people of color is diversity. We need all types of diversity in clinical research to make sure that whatever products come to market, be they vaccines or other medical treatments, will be equally effective for the range of people who may end up needing them. So we need diversity of age. We need diversity of gender. We need diversity of ethnicity. In particular, what that brings is we get different combinations of health conditions that people have, different types of health diagnoses that people may be living with. That means they may be on different combinations of medicines that they take every day. They may have different lifestyles that they live, in particular with COVID-19. We need to know that this vaccine is equally effective for those who are truly on the front line with high levels of exposure as they are for someone like myself who has the ability to social distance and work from home. So that's the reason diversity is so important, and ethnicity and race are among those types of diversity. Even language is important because, as was just said by Bramante, you get this little card that tells you what to do. We need to know that when we give people the instructions and information, that it's communicated in a way that they can understand. So we're looking for all types of diversity.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about that also, but I want to get back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the vaccine, what it's like to get it. The WHR news team has have received the vaccine. But we're also talking about a Novavax trial, a new trial that is looking for African-American participants and why that is important. Erica, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. Erica, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. This has been a discussion that has been going on in my office, and it's like, how can we put mothers-to-be or expected, women at a, just more of a relief?
Oh, gosh, we lost her.
Being studies done, I feel like I'm a guinea pig, and even for mothers that have 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, and they want to eventually get them vaccinated, they're kind of concerned, well, 5 or 6 years later, or when they get old enough to have children, then they wonder why they're having fertility issues. So what can be done to put, those people at ease when it comes to getting the vaccine?
Dr. Williams.
A valid question, and I did get most of that, being concerned about potential unknown issues that might occur among women of childbearing age. It's an important question. And so I would say I can't ease Erica's mind today with the information because I don't have it personally, but part of it is assuring that trials are done with women of childbearing age and women who are pregnant to make sure that we do understand the impacts. We are learning from what we know about other vaccines, such as the flu vaccine, that are given to pregnant women because that protection is so important during pregnancy. So we are learning from what we know of other vaccines and using as much of that as we can to apply to this. Understand, as we've heard, that these studies are not brand new out of the gate, that the research has been ongoing for a while. And so, there is data that we can learn from about what happens to the next generation of the non-human primate studies.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about our experience with the vaccine. Also, we will be discussing the Novavax vaccine trial, how you can be a part of it. Also, Patricia calling from Silver Spring. We're going to talk to you, so please do not hang up. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about our experiences with the COVID-19 vaccine. WHUR news team had a chance to get the first round of shots. Also, we're going to talk about a Novavax vaccine trial that is looking for African-American participants. My guest is Dr. Carla Williams, Associate Professor of Medicine and Public Health at Howard University Hospital. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Here with me now is our intrepid producer, Candace Atkins. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Harold.
How are you?
Brought me in the studio. The phones are ringing off the hook.
Yeah, that's right. We got to get you back in there so you can do your job. But how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. It was a very unique experience getting the vaccine shot yesterday. Yes, I was a little shook, and I had asked like 20 questions back to back. How do I feel? How am I supposed to react? Or what would happen? Because I had the flu shot, and I got sick for 3 days, so I was very hesitant. But after, as you saw, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris get it and some of the other medical leaders, because we interviewed so many on the drum, and they got it, I was encouraged. But it hit home in my heart. I lost my uncle to COVID. He was 79 years old. He was such a sweet and beautiful man. And our very own Patrick Ellis, and we had one of our other family members here at HUR. HUR is a family-oriented station, guys. coach, he had it, but he's healed by the grace of God. So I got in there and put, as we say, put over your big girl panties, Dr. Williams. You sit exactly. your butt in there, you take that shot, and you pull it together. I was sleepy when I got home. I slept real good. But okay. I was fine. Yes, I was fine. Yeah. So go get it, please.
Yeah, definitely, Candace. Thank you for the imagery. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let us talk to Patricia, calling from Silver Spring. Patricia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Mr. Harrell and Dr. Williams, I heard you mention two types of vaccines, and I'm an African female with probably an underlying condition. How do I know which vaccine to get?
That's a really good question. I didn't have a choice today. I was given what was available, which was the Pfizer vaccine. But about that, Dr. Williams, how do you address whether or not somebody has questions about which one to get, if there may be an option?
Good question. And the answer is get the one that's available to you first. Pfizer and Moderna are very similar types of vaccines, as you've likely heard on the news. It's the mRNA, where the instructions are, what you're getting is the instructions to make a certain protein that your body will then respond to, recognize and respond as foreign, and then your body's natural immune system will kick in. Those are the only two that are available on the market. They're both the same type of vaccine. So that's what we have available to us in the U.S. So the answer is get the vaccine that's available to you first, because understand, these are going through very, very stringent research, very, very stringent criteria for meeting approval. And you've seen the, hopefully, in various news reports, the clear differences between those who get the vaccine and those who don't in terms of their risk for becoming infected and having significant symptoms and potentially being hospitalized. So that's really the answer. Get the one that's available to you first. And to the point about additional clinical trials that are going on, as they continue, if the data show that they are safe and effective, different types of vaccines will be available on the market later. But don't wait. If you're in line now, stay in your lane, stay in your line, get to the head of the line and get your vaccine.
Okay. Patricia, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John calling from the DMV. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing today, sir?
I'm great.
I just want to make a comment, and then I have a question. So
sure.
I'm in the military. I don't want to say what unit I'm in because I'm sure someone might be listening. We really can't be talking without kind of so much permission. But I do take part in giving the vaccination to soldiers, and I have given the first shot to soldiers. And you're correct. The first shot is just basically a small sting in the shoulder, and you might have a sore shoulder the next day. The second shot is completely different. The second shot, you will get sick. I've given the shot to my soldiers. The second shot, like the other day, I vaccinated 10 soldiers on one day, and out of the 10, 8 of them called back in the next day saying, hey, I cannot make it in. The body aches, the headaches, the nausea, the cramps, the diarrhea, I just can't make it in. But what's important that I would like for your audience to know is this. Even though you get the first and the second shot and you're vaccinated, that does not make you immune to not contracting coronavirus. You can still catch coronavirus with the vaccine. And what I'm fearing is this. A lot of younger people this summer is going to get that vaccine, and they're going to get so arrogant and they're going to take their mask off, and you're going to see them at the parties, and it's going to start the infections all over again. You are not immune to getting coronavirus just because you've been vaccinated. But I have a question I want to ask your guest in the studio, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I've asked several doctors in the military and outside of the military, after you get that second dose, how long is the immunity period? And they've all said, we're not sure, but definitely up to 90 days. That's 3 months. After the immunity period over, I asked them, well, what's next after the immunity? Once that 3 months go by and my immunity goes away, what's next? Do I get a booster shot? Do I got to take the vaccine all over again every 3 months? What's next? And they all replied the same thing. We don't know yet. We haven't gotten that far with information.
Well, let's see, John, what Dr. Williams has to say about your questions. Go right ahead, Dr. Williams.
Sure. So I'll try to convey the best knowledge that I have at the moment. And this was covered on this morning's news, so it's a very timely question. So remember that we're talking about two types of immunity, the antibodies, those germ-fighting proteins that we create when our body is infected by a foreign invader like a cold virus. Our body, you know, creates antibodies against that cold virus to knock it out. But there's also a different type of immunity that's about our ability to remember that foreign substance and then mount another response in case we come across that foreign invader again. So what John was talking about in terms of the 90 day, that may be how long we can maybe detect those antibodies in blood. And we don't know the exact range of that. And it varies by individual because our individual responses will kind of determine our own antibody response. But after that, and if those antibodies, the numbers that are circulating and detectable start to decline, we still have a memory for that protein, that foreign protein that the body recognizes as something other than self. And the body can then more quickly mount a response to that. And so to John's initial comment about, you know, well, what about people who think that they're, you know, no longer able to get infected? I won't get into too many details of that, but it is true that we don't know if people can transmit the virus from exhaled air, from talking, the reason that we wear masks, because you may have the virus in your nasal passages, in your upper air tract. And maybe you could then transmit those to someone even though you yourself don't get sick. That's still an unknown, but it's a question that we're asking.
I will add to that, John, when I received my first shot today, that the nurse went through all of the possible side effects with me. There was a list. And, you know, the headaches, the body aches, the arm, discomfort and all of those things. Yes, you're right. She said you could have one, two, all or none of them. And so that is something that she was very, very specific about that. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about that just for the first injection. And I would imagine that it would be the same for the second one. The other thing that she did say to me was that it will take at least 2 to 3 weeks before I would be considered 40% protected after the first shot. But she said that does not mean that I should not socially distance. I should not wash my hands. She said I need to continue to act as if I had not received the shot at all. And I think that it is important to make sure that we convey that information to young people, old people, all people, because it has been said, Dr. Fauci has said that even with these vaccinations, it's likely that this may be with us in some way, shape, or form. And I think that, you know, that we need to be mindful of it, because they're just, at least right now, there isn't any magic bullet. And I'm sure Dr. Williams will agree, the flu is always with us. And that's why we get flu shots every year. Is that correct, Dr. Williams?
Yes. And so this was, again, discussed this morning, that maybe it's not every year for a coronavirus vaccination.
because, you know, another question people have is, you know, we're hearing about variants now. You know, how much do the current vaccines cover the current variants that are out there? And again, that's a lot of unknown. We have to get better data to understand that. But because of the nature of this particular virus, it doesn't change as much and as frequently as a flu virus. And so that's why the flu virus every year is different enough to where we need a different vaccine. But the expectation of what we know about coronaviruses in general, and they are a family of viruses that share certain characteristics, is that they don't change as much. So the expectation is we wouldn't necessarily need new vaccines year over year, but potentially because the virus is here to stay in the human population, the world's population, maybe there would be a need for boosters or different types of vaccines every few years. That was my understanding of today's discussion with some leaders around this issue.
John, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gwen, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Gwen. What's on your mind? Gwen, are you there? Gwen, give me a call back if you can. Let us go to Ricky, calling from D.C. Ricky, thanks for calling. There we go. Ricky, are you there? Yes, sir. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, my question, and thank y'all very much for this topic. And Dr. Williams, thank you. I want to first say my prayers go out to Miss Cicely Tyson that we just heard that her life has, you know, moved on. Okay, and that put me back at this topic. During the late 1960s, we was forced all to go to school and take a vaccination shot. And as I think back, the auditorium was so packed, okay, with, you know, students. And that's when I remember the vaccination, you know, the one that you have in your left pit arm. And I want to basically ask Dr. Williams, according to that shot, I don't know, you know, what that shot was for during that time. I'm just thinking back there, because I was no more than like 7, 8 years old, right? But the thing is how effective that we don't know how this shot was, you know, and what it was pertaining to, you know, during that time, and with this shot still initiate on my arm. Now, and I hear that we are talking about we may can still obtain this virus even with these first and second shots. We still are not exempt from it. Okay, so, I mean, I wouldn't ask Dr. Williams that is this as a more like a lifetime episode of plague of which we're going through with corona that we have to stay on guard at all times?
Well, let me, Ricky, see if she can first answer the first question, which was, and I think it's a great question. I was also very young as well, but that first vaccination that we got in elementary school back in the, I don't know, 60s, 70s, whenever.
I'm wondering if you're speaking of the polio vaccine. Now,
probably
polio vaccine.
So.
Started much earlier than that. And my sister and I are 5 years apart. She's older than I. She got a polio vaccine. I did not. And to the caller's point, the reason that I did not have to get a polio vaccine is that the rates by the time I came along 5 years later, my sister was probably one of the last groups of children that got the vaccine, you know, in the way that was described, groups of children coming in and getting these vaccines, that it did exactly what the caller was referring to. It was able to eliminate that virus from spreading in the community such that people born after a certain time period, it was very unlikely that they would be exposed to the virus, to that polio virus. And so depending on where you lived and when you were born, you may or may not have received a polio shot. Now, around the world, the timing of that was different in different countries. And we still are trying to look at, I think there's maybe one or two countries that still, you know, we need to get, you know, better vaccination rates in. So I think that's what the caller was referring to. And I believe the second part of the question is a very good question as well. Is this like a polio vaccine where you get it one time and you're one and done? And as we talked about before, that's probably unlikely with the nature of this vaccine. There are certain vaccines like that where you get it and you're immune for life. We don't expect that to be true with the coronavirus.
Yeah, like measles, mumps, rubella, MMR. I remember, you know, certainly my daughter getting that. And but to the point, and I was too young to remember, but I actually have spoken to my parents who are certainly old enough to remember the fear, not of the polio vaccine, but of polio. And just how devastating and debilitating a disease it was, and how important it was. And anecdotally speaking, they did not have the kind of pushback for the polio vaccine that we are often seeing now in the Black community and more broadly the anti-vaxxers and, you know, and all of that. And I think that is, and that certainly we live in different times of information and the like that may be contributing to that. But this is a new world, Ricky. And certainly we are seeing, you know, with we're getting close to 500,000 people dead from COVID. And so it is certainly something that we all need to keep our ears to the ground about. But thank you so much for giving us a call. I appreciate it. I do want to go back to the Novavax trials. How does someone participate in, and what does that participation look like? Do you sign up? Do you call them? Do you do it online? How does that work?
So absolutely. We have a lot of ways to reach us to get more information, and that's the first step. You can go online. It's coronaviruspreventionnetwork.org. A very long name. We didn't pick it. But coronavirus... Or you, if you Google pretty good, you can Google COVID research trial in Howard University, and a page will pop up for you there. But it's not too difficult to find Coronavirus Prevention Network. And there you can learn about the trial. You'll be asked a series of questions about yourself, including some contact information. And if you put in our site code, if you're local to the DMV, our site code is H-O-W-U. As in Howard University, abbreviation H-O-W-U. That means that you're connected to our site, and a person from our site will call you, talk you through the process, answer your questions, and if you're interested in learning more and potentially participating, schedule you to come in for the process. The process starts with you getting first informed, fully informed about all aspects of the study, what's expected, how long it will take. If you agree to all that information and you do give your consent, then you'll get some basic health checks. You'll be tested for COVID with the swab test, as we said, in the nose to see if there's any active virus, and also in the blood to see if you've been exposed in the past and already have antibodies. If you have not been exposed and you're not actively infected, then and you are otherwise healthy after having some more health checks with our physicians and nurses, then you can be enrolled. You'll come back a few days later and you'll get a shot. Two out of three people in this study will get the active vaccine, the Novavax vaccine that they expect to be preventive for COVID-19. One out of those three will get a placebo. And that's very important for people to think about, because if you are in a research study, people are in this study because they want to contribute to bringing more vaccines to be available to the U.S. and worldwide, and making sure that those vaccines are safe for everyone. But understand, it is a research study. So we want people to think about that, because there is a chance, one out of three, that you'll get the placebo, but two out of three that you'll actually get the active vaccine.
How do you know that you are eligible? For example, I would imagine, but I don't know. Okay, I've had the Pfizer shot today, and in 28 days, I will have another shot. Does that mean that I am not eligible
for this because I've already had a vaccine?
Yes, that is correct. So there's only a few things that make people ineligible, again, because we want this study to represent, you know, the real world. And people come with a lot of health conditions and on, you know, a variety of medications. The things that make you ineligible are, again, if you've already had COVID, because if you have antibodies in the blood, we wouldn't be able to tell if any, how much the additional antibodies were a result of the vaccine itself. So we need people who have not had COVID in the past, and we can tell that through the blood test. And currently, and of course, people who don't currently have COVID, because we don't want to have any interaction with your recovery from COVID. Most people with other health conditions, as long as they are under control, so if you have high blood pressure but you take medication for that and your blood pressure stays normal, if you're a diabetic but you're on your medication and your blood sugars are normal, you're certainly eligible to participate. You know, our lead physician, Dr. Majoub, sees patients who are living with HIV. If their HIV status is good and they're otherwise healthy, they can be in the study. But having had a COVID vaccine would make you ineligible because you're already going to be producing antibodies from that vaccine. So what we're interested in knowing is, can this new potential vaccine also produce a good level of antibodies that would be protective? So that's kind of the key. Also, if you've had your flu shot in the past week, we'll ask for you to wait a week before enrolling in the trial, because sometimes two vaccines given together, there can be some cross-reactivity. So we like to recommend a week between that. And other vaccines that you may have coming up later, we suggest you wait a couple of weeks after you get your second shot. And this trial is very much like the Pfizer and Moderna. It's two shots placed 3 weeks apart.
From your perspective, how might, and it may be too early, but how might the Novavax vaccine differ in any way, shape, or form from the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine? Because, for example, we do know that the Moderna vaccine doesn't have to be kept as cold, and the wait time between shot number one and shot number two is less than the Pfizer vaccine.
Mm-hmm. The Novavax vaccine is a different type of vaccine. It's actually, as we said, the Moderna and Pfizer instruct your body to build a protein. Novavax actually has the protein as part of the vaccine. That's what your body is going to respond to. The protein that is part of that crown of the coronavirus, that thing that's on the outside when we see that picture, there's just a tiny piece of that that's part of the vaccine that's introduced. Your body recognizes it as foreign. Doesn't have to build anything. Doesn't have to read any information. It just responds to that foreign protein. So that's one of the differences. And it's expected that the different types of vaccines will produce different rates of antibody response. So I believe Novavax is hoping for at least the same level, if not a higher level, of antibody response. But there are a lot of other unknowns, you know, after that. So that's one way. And yes, it doesn't have to be kept at the ultra cold temperatures as the Pfizer. So, you know, the more we can get vaccines that are more stable at more normal refrigeration temperatures, the better we're going to be able to get those out to the public.
Let me take one more phone call before we wrap things up here. Dee, calling from Arlington, Virginia. Dee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I was actually kind of interested in the trial about the Novavax, and then I was looking it up online, as I do. I love you, Harold.
Thank you.
Whenever they do these things, I always look stuff up. And I saw that in today's, looks like New York Times, they were saying that this one, that the Novavax vaccine may not be as effective with the variants. And they said specifically the one in South Africa. But that there's a new one that was coming out that they were working on that would be tested against this one. So do you know which one they would be trying to test using? Like, are they going to be using
the one they're working on now, or are they working on this one, the new variant? Because I had heard that the Pfizer and the Moderna works better with this, the variants, but I don't know about this one. So I was confused.
It is a moving target because the data are just coming out. So as a scientist, I always say, let's not panic. Let's actually let the data come out. Let's not give preliminary results, because preliminary results and final results don't always match up. So I did hear the same things. At first we heard it Pfizer should be effective, then it just gets confusing. So I don't know the news story that the caller is referencing. I do know that the Novavax vaccine has been tested outside the U.S. I believe it's been tested in the U.K., Australia, and South Africa. So that may be, you know, maybe if they were able to discern among those participants which ones had these different variants, that may be why they're able to say if it's more or less effective. But it has been tested outside the country, and it's currently being tested in the U.S. and Mexico. So I'd have to defer my answer to that to get more information myself, but I think everyone should just kind of hold off and let the studies continue to understand these variants. And as Dr. Fauci has said, if we can get more people vaccinated, stop this thing from circulating, maybe we can reduce the number of variants that we're going to have to worry about in the near future.
Okay. Dee, thank you so much sharing with us this evening. And we just want to, again, update you that award-winning actor Cicely Tyson, the pioneering black actor who gained an Oscar nomination for her role in Sounder. Also, she portrayed an old woman who took us back in a story that was just amazing, the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. She won a Tony Award in 2013. And has made numerous TV movie and TV drama appearances. Cicely Tyson died today at the age of 96. This is a huge loss, not only for Black Hollywood, but for the world. Again, Cicely Tyson dead tonight at the age of 96. Dr. Carla Williams, thank you so much for sharing with us as well. We really appreciate your expertise, and good luck as you continue the work to make us all safer during the course of this pandemic. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Harold, and thanks everyone for sharing their experience with actually getting the vaccine. Hopefully that helped the listeners tonight.
Let's hope so. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 28th, 2021. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.